Hello and welcome back to the Britain and Ireland in the Early Middle Ages podcast. This is episode 54, Nothing Memorable to History. If you want to support the show, you can make a monthly donation via Patreon. I think it's worth noting before we begin that this is a re-recording as the original audio was really messed up. So if you know anyone who listened to it before this re-recording, please tell them that they can listen to it in better audio quality now. Now, let's get on with the episode. We left off last episode with the death of Donald, Kenneth MacAlpin's brother. Donald was succeeded by Kenneth's eldest son, Constantine. I think it's worth reminding you all, especially considering the confusing successions which are to come, that the Picts worked off a system of matrilineal succession, passing to the brother of a given ruler or his nephew. How this will come to work in Scotland is that one will alternate between the descendants of Constantine and that of his brother, Aedh. They will also tend to stay on the same generation, so a grandson of Aedh could be succeeded by a grandson of Constantine, who was then succeeded by the brother of the previously mentioned grandson of Aedh. Obviously, this becomes a huge mess and never makes any logical sense. In future, I'm going to borrow from Rex Factor and label each watch with a colour as shorthand for their retrospective progenitors, at least when I'm not talking about big dynastic things. The descendants of Constantine will be the blue branch and the descendants of Aedh will be the red branch. I'll see whether I can put a family tree up somewhere as well. Anyways, let's get to Constantine's actual reign. At this point, the Vikings controlled the far north of Scotland, the Orkney Islands, the Shetland Islands, and probably parts of the northern mainland. The main problem Constantine had to deal with was that of increasingly aggressive Viking attacks. His main power base in east central Scotland was itself raided profusely. In 866, King Olaf of Dublin, and I quote, wasted Pictland, and then spent his winter there. In 872-871, Olaf continued his raids and sacked Alclut with 200 ships. This was a devastating blow to the kingdom. Alclut was their eponymous power base, and having it ravaged by raiders would have completely destroyed their spirits. Further, it seemed the site became totally uninhabitable due to persistent raiding, and the kingdom had to move its capital further inland. As such, I'll stop calling the kingdom Alclut and rather Strathclyde. In 872, Constantine was able to kill Olaf in battle. However, his success against the raiders didn't last very long, as he himself was defeated in 875, this time by Halfdan, the King of York. Halfdan's defeat of Constantine was so total, he was forced to retreat back up into the Highlands, chased down by raiders. He was then killed by said raiders in 776 and buried in Iona. Constantine was succeeded by his brother, Aedh. The Chronicle of the Kings of Alba, a source which compiled the reigns of the kings of Scotland from Kenneth MacAlpin to King Kenneth II, described Aedh's reign as follows. Aedh held the kingdom for 1 year. The shortness of his reign bequeathed nothing memorable to history. He was slain in the Civitas of Nurim. Brutal. It seems Aedh spent basically his entire reign doing nothing but dodging Viking attacks, who, it seems, were raiding with impunity. Eventually, Aedh was killed not by Vikings, but by a member of his own retinue, at a place called Nurim. We don't actually know where Nurim was, but we can assume it was a town, seeing as it was described as a civitas. Eventually, Aedh was succeeded by Giric, who may have been the person who assassinated Aedh, or at least planned his death. Giric appears to have been outside the ruling dynasty, and may have ruled in concert with Kenneth's grandson, one of his daughters, and the ruler of Strathclyde, Eochaid. If this was the case, it was likely Giric was the mentor of Eochaid and Eochaid acted as a puppet ruler. It's also possible that Giric ruled personally, or conversely, that Eochaid did. However, the latter is the least likely possibility. Anyways, Giric is named as the protector against the heathens in the Duncan Litany, a contemporary source. We can assume this means he was at least mildly competent and won some victories in war. However, he was defeated in 889 by Donald II, the son of Constantine. Donald defeated the Vikings at Battle of Innisbolian, an unknown site which was probably located on an island. Donald led renewed assaults on both the Vikings and the Highland tribes, the latter of whom may have broken away from Scottish rule in all the chaos. Donald eventually died in 900, likely either during or after a campaign. Donald II was succeeded by Aedh's son, Constantine II, in 900. Constantine is a really important figure in early Scottish history. He both strengthened the power of the Strait and ruled for long enough to give Scotland some much-needed stability. Constantine was the first ruler to appoint Moraemers, or chief stewards, over provinces. He may have also established St Andrews as the premier church in Scotland. In addition to both of these major changes, he may have been the first inaugurated King of Scotland. It was either him or Donald II. My sources conflict. Constantine was also a pretty good military commander. In 903, the grandsons of Ivar plundered Dunkeld and all of Scotland, before Constantine routed them in battle. The battle was so decisive that Scotland suffered no major Viking incursions for around half a century. Who the grandsons of Ivar were is unknown, though the obvious figure is Ivar the Boneless. However, there's no proof that it was Ivar the Boneless, other than the fact that he was an important Viking who set shop in Britain around 50 years earlier. Anyways, Constantine also got himself involved in Northumbrian politics and backed a Bernician revolt against Rognvald, the king of Northumbria. This resulted in a massive battle between Constantine and Rognvald in 918. It seems this battle ended indecisively, however. Meanwhile, there were big things happening down south. Wessex was expanding all across England. In 927, King Æthelstan of Wessex conquered Northumbria, unifying England for the first time since the Romans. As you can imagine, this made Constantine very uneasy and in need of allies. He found such allies in a very unexpected place, the Norse kings of Dublin. Previously, we've seen the kings of Dublin raiding Scotland and fighting with the descendants of Kenneth MacAlpin. However, they had a claim to Northumbria and weren't too pleased about Wessex taking over land they viewed as rightfully theirs. Anyways, Constantine married his daughter to King Guthrith of Dublin's son, Olaf. It seems Constantine was right to fear the might of England and, in 934, King Æthelstan invaded Scotland and plundered freely. Constantine simply didn't have enough men to resist the combined arms of England. This was a tactical error for Æthelstan, though. It pushed Constantine further into the arms of Dublin and the other powers who weren't too pleased about the existence of England. This culminated in 937, when Constantine joined a massive coalition led by Olaf, who was now King of Dublin. This coalition was so big that it gave Æthelstan a run for his money. However, after a hard fight, Æthelstan gained the upper hand. An English poem recalls the following about the subsequent Battle of Brunanburh. So also the old one fled away to its northern country. Constantine, battle-hardy man. He need not boast of the meeting of swords. He was severed from kin, deprived of friends on that field, slain at war. And he left his son on the death ground, destroyed by swords, young at war. He need have no proud words, the white-haired warrior, the wily one. This was the last act of Constantine's long and storied reign, and sometime between 940 and 945, he abdicated the throne to Malcolm, Donald II's son. It's probable that Malcolm was pressuring Constantine to abdicate from the second he returned from Brunanburh, slowly asserting his power until the old king just decided to give up. Constantine died in 952 and was buried in St Andrews. As I just mentioned, Constantine was succeeded by Malcolm. Malcolm seems to have been on favourable terms with the new King of England, Edmund, at least initially. It seems the two led a coordinated attack on Strathclyde, with Edmund invading first and raiding to soften them up before Malcolm marched in and brought Strathclyde under his sphere of influence. However, these good terms wouldn't last for long. It seems Malcolm was a bit of an opportunist and had a large raid into northern England in support of Olaf's claim on the throne. Just a few years later, however, he turned around and allied Edmund against Erik Bloodaxe, the exiled king of Norway. Malcolm lost the battle and Erik Bloodaxe seized control of Northumbria. To me, this seems like exactly what he'd wanted all along. Malcolm died 2 years later in 954. He seems to have been killed by the locals of Kirkadaneshire and was buried in Iona. He was succeeded by Constantine II's son, Indulf. Now, Indulf was probably one of Constantine II's younger sons, on account of the likely death of Constantine's eldest son at Brunanburh. Anyways, Indulf wrestled to Edinburgh from the control of the Earl of Northumbria and, by extension, England. He may have also expelled Bishop Frothad of St. Andrews, but the chronicles give no reason, so we are left wondering. In 962, he destroyed an invading Viking fleet, but died fighting. Supposedly, following his victory, he chased the fleeing Vikings. Eager to catch up, he threw off his armour. What happened from there isn't exactly unexpected. A lucky Viking took a potshot at the king and struck him down. Indulf was succeeded by Duff, Malcolm I's son. Duff's reign marks the distancing between the two branches of the MacAlpin family. The throne was passing from branch to branch for three or four generations at this point, so the people involved were no longer really family. This means that prospective kings really wanted to limit succession to their branch of the family and were willing to fight the current king to bring control over to their side of the tree. In 965, Duff faced such a challenge from Cúlainn, Indulf's son. However, Duff won the battle only to be assassinated, allowing Cúlainn to regain the throne. Meanwhile, Strathclyde was becoming increasingly independent. Cúlainn tried to force the kingdom back into vassaldom and was initially successful. However, he made a big tactical and moral error. He killed King Riderich of Strathclyde's brother and raped his daughter. Not only is that a really bad thing to do, but it made Riderich really angry. In 971, Riderich killed Cúlainn. This led to all of southwestern Scotland reverting into Strathclyde's control. Cúlainn was succeeded by Kenneth II, Duff's brother. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please follow me on Twitter, where I'm at BritishestPod, and join the community Discord server. If you want to support the show, there are a number of ways to do so. If you have a little money spare, please consider making a monthly donation to my Patreon or a one-off donation via PayPal. However, even without the money, you can support the show by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you can. It really helps the show be found by more people and makes me motivated to keep pumping out episodes every week. In this case, two episodes in a week. Anyways, a big thank you to all my patrons and specifically my two $10 Oldwood tier patrons, Anita Gardoni and Stephen Reinish. Both of them informed me about the audio problems before I had a chance to listen, and I didn't initially realise how bad they were. So thank you to them for that. With that, goodbye.